If you have a serious work-related injury, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns! All right, we're going to bring in our producer, Matt Fontana. We're going to play a little after further review because this will at least give us an opportunity to shed some light on some of the good things that happened in yesterday's game. The goal line stand, 3 turnovers for the first team defense, 4 total in the game. So we're going to bring in Matt. We'll go a little after further review.
After further review.
Question number one, guys, your biggest takeaway from last night's game is blank.
Browns still got to find a starting quarterback. It's the search. I wish the search seemed closer to an end, and it did not last night.
I think that obviously that is the big takeaway. You know, there isn't a quarterback. If quarterback was named the starter today, there isn't a quarterback that you feel great about for week one, and I think that's a problem, and that's something we had hoped. That was basically the whole build-up to yesterday's game. We're going to get the answer to this. Brian Hoyer is going to go out, play well, and Brian Hoyer is going to be named the starter, and that did not happen. My other big takeaway is that this defense is going to be excellent. They are going to be able to get after the quarterback. They are going to be able to cover. They will force turnovers. This defense is going to be top 5 in the NFL. And this time they're going to do it not just in terms of being a top 10 defense because of yards. They're going to do it as a scoring defense. And that, I think, is going to be very important.
After further review.
Question number two, guys. This first part might be a little tougher than the second. I want an MVP on offense, the tough part, and then an MVP on defense.
Well, I think the offense obvious MVP would be Ben Tate. Let's give an honorable mention to Connor Shaw for his heroic efforts at the end of the game there. MVP on defense, I will go with Joe Hayden.
I'm going to go on offense, Ben Tate, 10 carries, 51 yards for Ben Tate. He's averaging about just under five yards per carry now in the preseason. He looks to me like someone who was ready to play. I know that he was frustrated at times yesterday on the sideline with some of the things that were happening. Ben Tate is going to be very good for this team. He could have a career year and have that kind of year that he wants. Terrence West is good, but Terrence West right now I think is going to be spelling Ben Tate more so than it will be a 50-50. Ben Tate may have been right all along on that one. I think he looked very good. Defensive MVP, there are a lot of them, but I'll go a different direction. I'll go with a guy who we have said needs to step up, needs to be a big performer for this team this season, and that's Paul Kruger. He had a sack. He had a tackle for a loss. He had 2 quarterback hits. He was in the backfield all game long, and Paul Kruger continues, built on a very strong week of practice. He'll be my defensive MVP.
And let's give a shout-out to Armonte Bryant, who played.
My God!
He had a huge game as well. I was talking with some people in the press box, some national writers before that. I said, just keep an eye on 95. This guy is legit. He can play. You don't know the name, but pay attention. And sure enough, I think on consecutive plays, he was outstanding, including a sack.
He's great. That's one guy that, you know, we certainly have been high on the entirety of camp. He's been a camp superstar and continues to play with the pads on as the stage gets bigger. And that defensive line, I'll give them an MVP as well, because to have a goal line stand, the whole defense for that goal line stand, when Washington said, we're going to run power football at you 4 times in a row, beginning at the 3, and then 3 times in a row from the 1, and they don't get into the end zone when they have Alfred Morris, that's impressive. This defense did a great job.
After further review.
Stick on the defensive side of the ball, guys. Who do you think has the lead for the starting inside linebacker position? Could be Christian Kirksey, could be Craig Robertson, maybe even Zach Diles.
I'm gonna go right now with Craig Robertson. I think he has done enough so far to keep the job. Again, I think they went into this season. He was the starter on the depth chart. He still is listed as the guy who has the position and has got to get knocked out of that spot. And I've been impressed with Christian Kirksey. I've been impressed with Zach Diles. But I think Craig Robertson consistently, and he showed it again last night, is worthy of keeping that job.
I think they're both going to be starters. And the reason I say that is because I think Craig Robertson will play on first and second downs. He's been very good against the run. You saw the trouble, though, that he's going to have with a guy like Jordan Reed in space. I think you look at Chris Kirksey, he's going to cover, and eventually he's going to become that 3-down linebacker next to Carlos Dansby. But I appreciate, Matt, that you mentioned Zach Diles. He's going to be the backup to Carlos Dansby, an 8-year veteran who has been awesome. He flows to the ball so, so well in the run and in the pass game. He has played very good and I think has earned a spot on this squad.
After further review.
The furthest from an 8-year veteran, guys, which rookie had the best performance last night?
Boy, I'm challenged on this one. I'm not sure if there was a rookie. Well, I'll go with Justin Gilbert. I think he gave enough. You know, he held up. Look, the guy was put out there for a long time. Six injured cornerbacks going into the game, so he had to play a lot. So on that basis alone, he didn't embarrass himself. He had a couple of glitches here and there, but for the most part, I thought he looked pretty solid.
I thought it definitely has to be Justin Gilbert. First time out there, lined up for the majority of the early portion of the game against DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon. I thought he held his own. He can close on the ball. He had a pass breakup, a pass defense. You want to see him get his head around on that ball in the end zone because he might have got an interception. His coverage was that good. But I was very impressed with Justin Gilbert. Thought he played well. Chris Kirksey continues to play well. Joel Bitonio continues to play well. But Justin Gilbert, for me, you wanted to see him, and you did. I think, as I said before, this is a team that's going to have some rookies making impacts. I think Gilbert's going to be a day one starter. I think Bitonio's going to be a day one starter. I think Kirksey is going to be a guy who plays a lot from day one and will ultimately become the starter. More talented overall than Robertson. And I think as he continues to pick up the nuances of playing inside linebacker, he will start.
After further review.
Final one, guys. This Saturday against the Rams, the dress rehearsal starters expected to play into the third quarter. What player are you guys really excited to see on Saturday night?
Well, whoever is named the starter, if in fact Mike Patton sticks to his plan of naming one this week, and that's not a given any longer. It sounded like it was a given last week. He may be rethinking that. He admitted as much after the game. I don't think we're going to hear about it today. I know he's got a 4 o'clock conference call with the media. I don't know that at that time he's going to announce it. I'm not going into that expecting that right now. I do think it's something that could wait till possibly tomorrow. And whoever that guy is, Nathan, because for both players, they have the same kind of thing going for them. The need to show us that we can feel confident that they can start for this football team, start for any NFL team.
Yeah. I mean... Yes.
Sorry, but I mean...
I want to see... It's not even to me about a player. I want to see the offense look good. The first team offense be able to move the ball. I want to see more of a commitment to the run. I want to see Ben Tate continue to be fed the rock and continue to produce. And I want to see whoever it is that is the quarterback, and hopefully there's a starter named by that point. I want to see him go out there, be efficient, hit open receivers. The receivers actually got some separation. They were open for both of the top two quarterbacks last night, who missed them multiple times. I want to see this offense look in sync and look like it is picking up steam going into the first week, because right now you feel great about the defense.
Mm-hmm.
You feel good about special teams. You feel very, very concerned about the offense. And I don't want that to be the case. That's a refrain that we're all too familiar with, and that's a refrain that we all hoped was going to change this season. And listen, it's going to be even tougher because you got to expect at some point the NFL is going to get off of its collective keister and it is going to make a ruling on Josh Gordon.
By the way, last night's game, you know, was the second highest rated NFL preseason game in ESPN history. The Browns and the Redskins, all to watch. Ben Tate.
Was it the highest penalized game in NFL history? I mean, honest to goodness, these rules are a joke. And the NFL, Seattle beat up the Denver receivers. Big deal. It's football.
Knee-jerk reaction.
This is a football is a tough game played by tough people, according to Mike Patton. I was talking with Joe Hayden last night on the plane, or as we were walking up to the plane. He says, "You're not even checking. You're just wide receivers do it. You guys kind of just put your hands on each other to feel where the person is." He said, "That's that." It's just how the game is played. These refs need to just stop it.
No,
again,
it's
ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it's, almost nothing goes well with knee-jerk reaction. And in the NFL, there's a history of this. I mean, where the rules-making committee gets together, the competition committee, and they respond to a season of something, and it might not have even been a whole season, but just, you know, they thought that was going to lead to this dangerous trend. That's the way the Seahawks defense is designed. It does not mean every team in the league was going to smother every other team, and I think to overemphasize that is the wrong thing to do.
I couldn't agree with you more, and
right?
it was embarrassing to watch last night. It was embarrassing
that
to watch.
That might have been the hill. I've watched other preseason games where flags have been flying. I think that one set a record, and I honestly think that's because the officials knew the national cameras were on. They were overdoing it for the sake of the other teams tuning in.
There were a combined 21 penalties for 154 yards in that game.
Yeah. I mean, if that's a regular season game and any regular season game, and you got people spending hard-earned money on that, That's not gonna work. NFL, you're right about that. Totally.
Do you want a fun stat real quick?
Sure. Always love your fun stats.
The Browns had 99 yards and one touchdown on interception returns.
Nice.
They had 286 yards and one touchdown and two touchdowns thanks to the Hail Mary as an offense.
There you go. Look at that. It just paints a whole different picture. Make those numbers talk.
Ugh.
216-578-0850. We want to hear from you. We also want to get into your tweets, and we'll be doing that coming up as well. He is Nathan, and I am Vic, and this is CBD.